You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
I've got tissues up here, just in case, but we know it's not just in case. Atamaria, Tefano, or Ihu Karaiti, no mai harimai, ki Elam Christian Center Whangarei. My tongue about it, he told her. Now make him a headache. We talk at all. Oh dear, my heart to yours. Thank you. I might need a box. I think I might need a box. From my heart to yours, a very warm welcome to Elam Christian Center today. You know, 15 years ago, when I became a mum, I got vomited on. Today, I spilled coffee all down myself. Oh, how times have changed. Before I start my message this morning, I just want to honour a special woman here today. As many of you may know, we are off on an adventure at the end of July to move to Exeter in England. But we are just so delighted that Kaylin, you're going to take on the lead pastor role here, and I really want to acknowledge you, Steph, because you are a beautiful woman, and you are an amazing mother, and we want to honour you today. We've got these flowers for you. And we just want to say, you just be you. You just be you. We cannot wait for you to add another child into your family before we go. I'm so glad for that. And I just want to say thank you for saying yes. I just want to say thank you for saying yes. Can you see me okay? Yeah, that's a bit better, eh? Okay. Mother's Day is not always an easy day, as Mike said. And so for the one who has lost a mum, for the mum who has lost a child, for the one, the mum that is flying solo today, for the one that longs to be a mum, and for the spiritual mums to many, we want to say you're not forgotten this Mother's Day. We love you, we honour you, and we don't just celebrate all the mums here today, we celebrate every woman, because you're all amazing. And we thank you for all you do, for all that you give, for the sacrifices that you make. And I just pray that as I share just for a few moments on the book of Esther, our theme is for such a time as this, that you would mother in whatever way that looks like for you, and you would give glory to God as you do. And I just pray that God would bless you today on this special day. Our key scripture this morning is from Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. In the Christian Standard Bible, it's going to be on the screen. Let's read. So I don't cry. Okay, Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther. He said, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place, but you and your families will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to this royal position for such a time as this." And Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. She said, "Go and assemble all the Jews who can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my female servants will fast in the same way. And after that, I will go to the king, even if it's against the law." She says these very famous words, "Even if I perish, I perish." God bless the reading of his word. Should we pray this morning? Father God, I just thank you for all the ladies. I thank you for everyone that's here today, God, that it is an opportunity for us to worship you, to give you our best, to hear your word. I thank you for your promise that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you please. It will prosper in our lives today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the book of Esther belongs to the period after the Babylonian exile. So Babylon is not in charge. Persia is, and it's the ruling power of the day. Now, the story is set in Susa under the reign of King Xerxes, which is his Greek name. And there had been many Jews that had returned to Jerusalem at this time. Roughly, it's between Ezra and Nehemiah in the Bible. And the timing reveals that there were many Jews that actually stayed in Persia at this time. They didn't return with the others. Now, the text doesn't tell us why that was, but I wonder, because we know that the Jewish people went into exile because they worshipped other gods apart from the one and only true God. And there had been people that had stayed behind. And I don't know, maybe they had got comfortable. Maybe they didn't want the hard work of returning, didn't want to rebuild. But Esther is a very unique book because you know that is the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention the name of God. It doesn't mention God's name, even though he is implied and his sovereignty is implied, his name is never mentioned. Now, Esther in Hebrew, her name was actually Hadassah. You might know that. It was actually Hadassah. It means a myrtle tree. I'm going to pick up on that a little bit later. But Hadassah was also known by her Greek name, Esther, the name of this book. And do you know that Esther in Hebrew means I will hide? And when I read that in the last couple of months, I was like, that's so interesting. Fascinating that her name, Esther, in Hebrew means I will hide. Because in Deuteronomy, God forewarned his people what would happen if they should forsake him. He says in Deuteronomy 31:18 that I will hide my face from them. And this scene also hints at the Messiah Jesus, who would serve in the same capacity as Isaiah prophesied. In Matthew 12, he said, he warned them not to make him known so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom I delight. I will put my spirit in him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. So the story of Esther is all about a Jewish girl in Persia who said yes to God. And she was amazing because she became part of God's plan to save his people from Haman's plot to destroy them. She is assisted by Mordecai, who actually was her cousin but ended up adopting her. And it was also written, if you read the book, to explain the two-day celebration of Purim. And it implores us all as believers to remember that God saved his people. And so I've got three thoughts this morning, just in the time that I've got left. I think these have impacted me so much. I pray they encourage you today on Mother's Day. My first thought is, number one, that we are chosen. We are chosen. You know, Esther, she was chosen to be the next queen of Persia. It says in Esther 2:17, the king loved Esther more than all the other women. She won more favor and approval from him than did any of the other virgins. And so he placed the crown on her head and he made her queen in place of Vashti. You know, not just Esther was chosen, but we are chosen. We are God's people. We have been grafted into God's family. We are his son and we are his daughters. Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his possession, so that you would proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I want to say we have been chosen. We have been grafted into God's family. You know, the question of who am I? The question of who am I has been a lifelong journey for me. Many of you might know that I took a large portion of last year off. I decided to resign and just be, because I realized that my identity was wrapped up in what I did. Oh, isn't that a journey for us all? Yes. And I realized that my identity as a pastor, my value as a person was wrapped up in what I did. And I had a very dear friend about halfway through last year, about a year ago, she said, would you come and do the Freedom in Christ course? would you come and do that course with us, with your kids? And I was like, I would love to do that. I've always wanted to do that course. And so we did the Freedom in Christ course with our children. And that course was amazing. We run that course here, so if you'd like to do it, you can. It's amazing. And I realized that I had been wandering around like a chicken instead of soaring like an eagle, instead of soaring on the wings of faith that God had in store for me. And I realized that I had been believing a lot of lies. I'd been believing a lot of lies, and so I had truth busters, truth statements up on my mirror in our bathroom, and I said these statements out loud every day for a large part of last year. Things like, I'm not stupid. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a beloved daughter of the King. Things like, I am wise. When I open my mouth, it is filled, Lord, with wise and godly wisdom. Loving instruction and kindness pours from my lips. I'm so thankful for last year because God showed me who I am by revealing who He is. We are chosen. Ephesians 1, 4 to 6 says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His family, to bring us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what He wanted to do. How good is this? And it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that He has poured out on us. On us because we belong to His dear Son. So number one, we are chosen. But number two, we are called to join God's work. We are called to join God's work. And you need to know that calling is not for God's sake. That is for our sake. He calls us for our sake. He says, come and be part of the team. Come and join me in the work that I am doing in this world. Do you know if Esther, if she refused to go to the king, God would have saved His people another way. He would have saved His people another way because He is sovereign. You need to know this morning that our refusal to take part in God's work doesn't mess up His plan. How good is that? Our refusal to take part in God's work doesn't mess up His plan because He is sovereign. But we have a choice. Esther had a choice, and I'm so glad she said yes. I'm so glad she said yes. Will you say yes? Yes to God. I love this. Esther 4:14. This is Mordecai speaking. If you keep silent, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. And you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps God has brought you to this royal position for such a time as this. What an interesting choice of words that Mordecai uses. He says, who knows, perhaps. Have you ever had a perhaps moment in your life? I have. At the beginning of the year, Mike and I were in England, and our friends, Mark and Nita, picked us up from the train station, and Mark said, it's been an interesting week. I have just been nominated to be the general superintendent. So English. And I can only say that here, so I'm going to say that here. So English, General Superintendent of the Elam Churches. So that is 550 Elam Churches in England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And I leaned over to Mike and I said, what's that? And he goes, Mr. Boss, it's the boss. Oh, right, like it's the national leader. Got it. It's the national leader of Elam. And apparently, I turned to Mike and I gave him a look. Not that look, but it was a look that apparently I've only given him about 3 times before. So I'm so sorry, this move is all my fault. You're gonna blame someone, blame me. Because I gave him a look and it was like, perhaps God is calling us to join in the work that He is doing over in the UK. Perhaps He is calling us to go and serve Mark and Nita in this big new role. So we didn't just leave it there. Oh, we got on our knees and we prayed. We prayed like we'd never prayed before. And we also remembered a prophetic word that someone had given us about 18 months earlier. And we never understood the last part of it. And I'm like, well, we need to listen to that word. Thankfully, Mike recorded it because the last part of it made so much sense. And we went to God's word. And we're like, Lord, we need to hear from you. This is big. And whenever you've got a big decision, a perhaps moment, man, you've got to have the word of God because it will guide you. It will sustain you. Because have I had some wobble moments since? Yes, I've had so many wobble moments. So many wobble moments. There are 112 occurrences of perhaps in the Bible. Some of them worked out really well, and some of them did not, right? We're really praying that this works out really well. Because perhaps it's the unknown territory, right? It's scary, and very seldom is there certainty in the faith zone. And this is a walk by faith. This is a walk by faith. And I'm like, many times I have woken up and I'm like, God, this is really scary. This is really overwhelming. And I've woken up crying, let's just be honest, not just some of the time, but a lot of the time. And I'm like, God, what you're asking us to do is huge. But I have taken so much comfort because there are many of you who are sitting in this place, not just in our campus, but our entire church, who have left your nations to follow the call of God. And I just want to say thank you because I have thought of you in the early hours of the morning because you were so brave and you were so courageous. And I'm inspired and we are so much richer for you saying yes, for you being here. And so I want to say thank you. Revelation 3, 7 to 8 means a lot to me at the moment because although we have a job, we don't have working visas. So we're just praying and believing for those. But that verse says, what he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I've set before you a door that no one can close. And my encouragement to us is to be obedient in the perhaps moments of life, to know that you are called to join God's work. And perhaps God has brought you here to Elim for such a time as this. Perhaps he has brought you here, and I want to be as bold as to say, in my sweet spirit, because you know, you know that you're not called here just to sit and listen. You're not called here just to sit and listen, but you were called to participate in the work that God is doing in this beautiful city of Whangarei, in this nation of New Zealand. And so I want to say that the greatest gift you can give Kaylin and Steph is your yes to God. And if you haven't done Growth Track, can I encourage you to do it? If you're new to Elim, oh, this course is amazing. It runs for 3 Sundays after church. It's fantastic, but maybe you've sat here for a little while. You've always thought, I want to do Growth Track. Just do it. You won't regret it because it's all about making a difference and discovering your purpose. And as the team would like to come, the third thing I think we can learn from the book of Esther is that we must consecrate our hearts. We must consecrate our hearts. It's not that word we don't really talk about too much. But I have been really impressed on my heart that consecration is what we need in this season. You know, to consecrate is to make or declare something sacred. It's to devote with deep solemnity. I don't think I said that right. I practiced possibly more than sermon, but you get my heart. Deep, it's deeply solemn. It's deeply, I know, I still don't think I said that right. It's deeply devoted. And that's what God is wanting in this season. That's what he's wanting. You know, Esther, she wasn't meant to go to the king unless she was invited. It was against the law. But she showed such courage. And she had consecrated her heart before the Lord because you cannot say words like, if I perish, I perish, if you have not consecrated your heart. Esther 4:15, This is her reply. She said, go and assemble all the Jews that can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I, my female servants, will do the same. And I'll go to the king, even if it's against the law. And I'm telling you, Esther had consecrated her heart. She had given God her yes. And that is my parting gift to you all, is to give God your yes. What does that mean? Give God your yes. What does that mean as a mum here today? It means to mother your kids in such a way that they encounter the presence of God at home, that they have, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with them. What does that mean to be a mum? It means that we're protecting our kids from the lure of this world, that we're inviting him into every situation, the good days, the bad days. We're consecrating our hearts before him. In our busy lives, do we take time to be with him? Do we take time to listen and to really hear from him? God, have you got my yes? Would you consecrate your heart before him today? You know, Hadassah is also derived from the Hebrew word myrtle tree. Myrtle tree, it says in the Bible, the righteous will be like myrtles. She stood for righteousness. You know, the celebration of Purim. Purim means lot, to cast a lot. It's how Haman came up with the date to basically destroy God's people. But he will always keep saving his people. I read this week that we might not need Esther's and palaces, but we need the prayers of the saints worldwide. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the turmoil that's going on in the Middle East. I don't understand it, but we need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to be mothers who are praying mothers. We need to be parents who are praying parents. In this place, it is never too early, nor is it ever too late. You need to know it's never too late to become a praying parent, a praying mother. Your kids are God's kids first. And you know, there's another meaning of Hadassah. It doesn't just mean myrtle tree. And just as an aside, we've got this amazing small group here at Elam and they study Hebrew. And I said to these girls, would you do me a favor? Would you do some research for me? I'm so grateful because there's this line that one of them said to me, Hadassah's name doesn't just mean myrtle tree. Doesn't just mean humility, but it means the end is entwined in the beginning. I'm like, how good is that? The end is entwined in the beginning. I'm just that statement alone. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, ladies. You know who you are. Because to me, that speaks of Jesus, whose end is entwined in the beginning, who was there at the beginning of time and creation, formed the world. And he is our soon and coming King. In Revelation, it says he will make all things new. Jesus, the end is entwined in the beginning. What a beautiful meaning of Hadassah, of Esther's name. And before I close, I just want to extend an opportunity, as we always do, because maybe there's people here this morning that need to give their yes to Jesus for the first time, or the first time in a long time. Because for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is God's rescue plan for humanity. Jesus, he is salvation in his name, the name above every name. And he came into this world as God's rescue plan. And he came perfect, fully God, fully man. And I'm so thankful that he came, because we've all sinned. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And that's why Jesus came. He came to die on a cross for us. He came to take the punishment that we deserved upon himself. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And we are so thankful here today, but maybe this is your day to say yes. Yes to Jesus, because he loves you, because he's got a great plan for your life. And if you say yes to Jesus, 3 things will happen. Your past sins will be forgiven. You will receive a new life in Christ this day and an eternal hope for your future. And so I would just love us to pray. This is what we do here at Elam. You can just pray this in your heart, but you can pray it out loud. You can join in with us, because we want to give you the opportunity. I would count it such a privilege to give you the opportunity to know my best friend. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of this world. I believe, Jesus, you died for me to forgive my sin. And I believe that you rose again to give me life. And I receive this life. Please forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come and fill me in Jesus' name. And with every eye closed and head bowed, I want you to be real brave. And just on the count of three, lift up your hand so I can see it. If you said yes to Jesus, if you said yes to him for the first time or in a long time, God loves you, number one. Number two, he's got a great plan for your life. And number three, you can lift your hand if you said yes to Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Well, God, I thank you. I thank you that there are hearts responding to you this morning, because we want to consecrate our hearts before you, Lord. We want to surrender. We want to be deeply devoted to you. And I thank you that we know in this place that we are called, that we are chosen. Lord, that you've chosen us, you've called us to make a difference. And Lord, I just pray for those who want to just consecrate their hearts afresh to you this day. Father, I thank you for all the ladies in this house. I thank you for the incredible job they do mothering. Father God, I pray that you would encourage their hearts today. And I thank you that you are with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stand, if you can, because we're going to sing a song that has really spoken so much to my heart. And it's called Resurrender, and it's by Brooke Fraser. And it says, if you're calling, I'm coming. I'm not walking, I'm running. My heart is resurrendered. My heart is surrendered to you. My heart is consecrated to you. So let's sing together, Mike will be up to. Pray a prayer of blessing, and thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.